CeeLo Productions presents Backstage Access. I'm your co-host, Scott Lowe.
And I'm your co-host, Tony Gonzalez.
And in this podcast, we discuss all things in the world of Christian music and entertainment. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Backstage Access. This week, we have Alyssa all the way from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Alyssa, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time and just spending some time with us to be able to hear your story and to talk about your music.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, so we'll start with, you know, your story. What, you know, what is your personal testimony and how did that go and transition you into music?
Yeah, so my testimony is kind of lengthy. I'll give kind of the paraphrased version and then feel free to ask other questions as well. But so I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are happily married. I have a sister. And I was always really involved with church and volunteering, singing on a worship team. My mom taught the children's ministry, and my dad was on pretty much like every school board and church board that you can imagine. I also went to a Christian school as well. So just kind of lived a very sheltered life, and it was always surrounded by God and by the church. And I really started to get into music whenever I discovered the band Flyleaf and Evanescence, and Skillet was another one too, because I had grown up listening to Christian music my whole life, but it was really that like faith-based rock that really got me intrigued into music.
Gotcha.
And it really encouraged me to want to be like that. I remember listening to Flyleaf and thinking, I just love how authentic she is, and the lyrics were so deep and so meaningful. But also, like, the music I was singing at the time was mostly worship. And again, when you're, I was probably like 13 at the time, I hadn't gone through any trials. And so I remember saying, like, I don't know how to make music like that because I haven't been through anything like they have. And it was almost as if God heard and he said, there's going to be trials ahead. So that's exactly what happened. It's like literally from that point on, it just seemed like everything in my life started to slowly unravel. And it started in the church. Like I said, my dad was on a lot of boards. And so I always had knowledge of things going on behind the scenes within church that, I mean, there was a lot of scandals that I had seen. And just, it seemed like one after another, we would, you know, be in one environment and then something would blow up, and then, you know, we move on to the next place and just like a similar thing would happen again. And every time, you know, you get attached to people there and you get kind of like this new faith in the church, thinking like, you know, this possibly can't be the same as the last one. And, you know, these people won't, you know, abandon us, or these people won't hate my family. And it just seemed like every time it just kept happening over and over again. And so I was just in this, and being so young too, it was just very difficult, just always losing people. And it was my senior year of high school. I'm skipping ahead a lot. And again, I had been writing this whole time, like through these experiences, it was like my music just kept getting darker and darker and darker, and that sound was really starting to develop. And it was, like I said, my senior year of high school, and it's kind of when I felt like everything finally just caught up to me, and I ended up leaving my high school and cyber schooling because I just couldn't take the environment there anymore. And my mom was really sick and pretty much bedridden at home, and I didn't have my church community. I didn't have my high school anymore. It was just like I had nothing. And I fell into this really depressed state. And I struggled a lot with music as well, because that was something that was always hard for me to do. It was something that I always knew I was called to. And in one way, but then because it was my way of processing a lot of the pain I went through, I didn't want to do it because it made me feel. And at that time, I just wanted to numb everything. I didn't want to think about anything. And so it was during that time that I just like gave up on music completely. And I remember I was at a church camp. I was, I'm back at another church at this point. I'm helping lead worship for this like youth, this youth camp. And I remember the pastor saying, you know, come this week with an expectant heart and expect God to show you something. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, by the end of this week, if God doesn't tell me that I'm supposed to do music, I'm done because I don't want to do it. And the only way I'm going to do it is if God tells me to do it. Right. And so it's the last week of this church camp. And I'm like, okay, God, like you're supposed to be telling something to me by the end of this week. And I'm in the middle of a conversation with this like surfer dude from California. And he's like way out there. And he finally turns to me and I have the verse pulled up because I always forget what it is. I should remember this. It's Psalm 37:4. And he said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And just randomly in conversation, he said that. And he said, God wanted me to tell you that that's for you. And so I think a lot of times people take that verse out of context. But for me, like I had lost my desires. Like I had no desire to do music. And that was something that I felt like God was saying to me, you know, just abide in me, just, you know, keep following me and I will give you those desires. And like right after that, I had gone to church that following week and the pastor said that same exact verse. And I was listening to a sermon series from another church and they were talking about that same, they had a whole series around that verse. And so I just knew it was one confirmation after another that God was showing me, you know, this is what I want you to do. And those desires did come back and God opened so many doors for me to do music. So that was like, I guess I would say part one of my testimony. But yeah.
That's awesome. So, you know, there's so many people out there who, you know, they're unsure what they're calling is in life. They're unsure what God's plan is for them. And, you know, it's, and people will, you know, just search for so long. And I've talked to so many people who they're like, I have no idea what my calling is. I have no idea what God has for my life. And, you know, sometimes we just have to have other people, you know, that we can talk to and that we can, relate with that give us that. And God speaks through those people. And,
right.
We, you know, I was in the same boat. I had no idea what God wanted me to do. But I was trying these careers that were, all revolved around, you know, how much money I was going to make. That was mm-hmm. my focus. And finally, after, you know, the third or fourth failed attempt, I had my young adult pastor who, you know, he set me down. He said, man, he's like, I'm just going to be honest with you. You are doing all of these things. You started in IT, and then now, you know, you were wanting to join the police department. You wanted to be an actor. Like, man, he's like, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, wow. I really don't know.
I want to rock.
And I said, man, I really don't know. And he said, okay. He goes, well, let me ask it to you a different way. If you were going to make $1 million a year doing absolutely anything you wanted to do, what would you do? And I'm like, I said, I don't know, man. I said, honestly, probably like get into ministry, like be like a youth pastor, or like counsel teens. I think that would be really good. And he goes, then why don't you do that? And I said, well, I said, I when I was 14, you know, I kind of wanted to do that, but there's no money to be made in ministry. Yeah. And I just didn't pursue it. And he said, you know, you're right. He said, there's not a whole lot of money in ministry, but God promises that you will have enough, that he will make sure that you have enough. You may not have an overabundance, but you'll have shelter, you'll have food, you'll have clothing. God will sustain you. And and I said, you know, I was like, you know what? Yeah, man, you're right. And so so then I switched and I started going to college for Christian counseling. And so I started doing that. But then I've had a passion for music, you know, since I was a child. And, you know, a lot of the music that I listened to influenced me so heavily. But unfortunately, what I was listening to was just, there was no hope. There was no, it was just basically life is horrible and then you die and, you know, that was it. And so I struggled through my teen years, you know, with addiction, with contemplating suicide, just being really depressed. And, you know, but once I changed that and I said, you know what, God spoke to me through, actually it was through one of Brian Welch's books. And, you know, God spoke to me that I needed to get rid of everything that was just destroying my mind and focus on Him. And so that's when I got rid of all my secular music and I started listening to only Christian music. And,
wow.
So, you know, I got I got Seventh Day Slumber's worship album, Love and Worship. That was the first album that I had listened to. And, so I listened to that. And then, so I really started to develop a strong passion for music because I discovered this Christian rock genre that I had never heard before. And, you know, seeing Brian Welch in concert, I was like, man, there's something special about this. Not only is there something special about the music and about what they're doing, but, you know, and you know, the Christian rock fans are so special. And it's like a family at these events. I mean, I go to Christian rock concerts all over the Midwest, and there will be people that I know that are there, and they travel because they want to support these artists. They want to support what they're doing.
Aww,
and
that's so cool.
It's amazing to see. And so as I'm trying to figure out this counseling idea, I partner up with a prison ministry, and they needed an idea for funding. You know, they're like, how we need to raise funds. We need to raise funds. And so I said, let's do a concert. And they're like, oh, okay. Have you ever done that before? I said, no, but I can try to figure it out. And so, you know, that was what kind of started it. And I started doing that. And then the prison ministry, unfortunately, went under. And, so then I was approached by Seventh Day Slumber and they said, hey, we're doing a tour with GFM. Would you want to be a part of it? And so we did a show with them, and all the feelings that I had doing those shows with the prison ministry just all came flooding back. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And so we did that. And then, like I said, last year we did the City Rock Fest tour. And, but yeah, I mean, Seventh Day Slumber, I've gotten to know those guys really, really well. And they have, you know, it's like a dream, because they were the ones that the very first band that God put in my life to listen to Christian music and their worship album. And then now, you know, knowing them and working with them, and it's been a dream, because these guys have been so influential in my whole life, you know, since listening to Christian music. And now here I am, like, getting to work with these guys and know them on a personal level. It's just, it's amazing. And that is where I feel now, that, okay, maybe God is calling me into music. You know, I've only done a few shows under the business that I have now. We've only done a few shows, but I feel in my heart that God's plan is something with music. I don't know if I'm meant to be a promoter or what I'm supposed to do, but the way that music has gripped me seems that's the path that He is leading me down.
Wow, that's so cool. And God always blesses obedience too. So, like, even just how He brings that connection around, like, that's the band you listen to, and that's kind of, you know, who got you into music, and now you're doing shows with them. Like, it's just awesome to see how God works, and we never know His timing or His ways. But when we're obedient, we see the fruits of it later. So I just think that's such a cool story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do our best to obey him. And as much as sometimes we probably wish there was an audible voice to say, no, you're supposed to do this.
Yep.
It doesn't work that way, but you know, we continue to pursue him. And, you know, I believe, that, you know, like you said, he honors that obedience. Mm-hmm. And you know, as long as we're pursuing him and keeping him first in our lives, that he honors that.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, what was it for you that made you decide, you know, I mean, I know you said that, you know, Flyleaf, and that's kind of what got you into music, but was there something in your life or what happened where, because I would imagine stage fright at some point had to be a factor. And so what was it for you that got that point where you get into music, you get into Skillet and Flyleaf and you're listening to them and you start writing music, you know, but what was that like the first time you stepped on stage and, you know, what were those emotions and what kept you going saying, you know what, I'm going to be a singer and, you know, because we all know singers are the main focus. They're the center of attention during shows. And I would imagine that is not always easy to deal with. Mm-hmm. So what's that been like for you?
Yeah, so definitely I have always been the kind of person, like I can be, I guess I can be entertaining. I can, you know, I am a people person, but that aspect of entertainment, I think was always something that was hard for me as a musician because I love the music. Like I love to play and I love to sing. But just that pressure to entertain always was in the back of my mind. Like I always thought like, am I interesting? Is anybody even liking what I'm doing right now? But I think like, especially in the last, I'd say the last like maybe 4 years or so, like my music has changed so much and I'm not behind a keyboard anymore. Cause I was always playing on a keyboard and now I'm just kind of like the front person and singing, and that like forced me, I think, to come out of my shell more. And once I got comfortable doing that, it was just so much fun. I think too, like just letting go of people's perception of you and just like, you know, this is the gift that God gave me, this is my music, and you know, I'm just gonna do the best that I can. And I think that just focus shift has been big for me. And I think too, just walking in that confidence of, you know, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. I know that I'm supposed to share my testimony and I know I'm supposed to be playing these songs to these people. And so I think, you know, that full reliance on God, like I can't rely on my own strength for anything. And that I think keeps you humble too, because I never will go out on stage and think I'm the best person or think I'm the most talented. Like it's just always that full reliance on God to give me that confidence. But yeah, I think that was something for a long time that I really struggled with. And I think in the last few years, it's been something I've really grown into.
Mm. That's awesome. So you've been doing music for how long have you? I know, you know, you had your latest song that came out November of last year, but when was it that you, like, started getting into, like, recording and doing, like, live shows and things like that?
Yeah, so I've been writing since I was about 13, but, like, playing my own music out probably college age, I would say. So when I was, like, 18, I probably started seriously pursuing playing. And then I started taking songwriting lessons with Josiah Prince from Disciple.
Wow, really?
I think when I was, that's yeah, cool. So I've been doing them with him. So I haven't done one in a few months now, probably more than a few months now, but I would regularly do them with him. Probably been 5 years of that relationship with him. Mm. And so all the songs that are on streaming platforms now, he's helped me. I usually come in with them mostly written, but he's helped me so much just refine songs. And like now, if I have a new song, I like need to schedule a lesson to get the Josiah stamp of approval. Because if he says it's good, if he says it's good, then I know it's good. Awesome. but he helped me grow so much as a songwriter. So I did that with him for a while. And like I said, when I was in college, I started playing my own shows and winning some like local competition stuff and just playing out more. And then last year, I think it was a year before, I don't remember anymore, but I did a music tournament at Creation Festival and I won that and I got to play the main stage for that because I won. So that was an awesome experience. And then from that last year, I played a live music festival and then I did Revive Music Festival and was able to open up for Colton Dixon. And then just recently in November, I was able to play at a show that Brian Head Welch was giving his testimony at. So it's just been gradual doors opening from that point. But yeah, I'd say probably 18 is when I seriously started pursuing music.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So do you have a regular band backing you up? Or
I do, yeah. So my guitar player actually produces all of my music. Okay. And then my drummer is pretty consistent. Bass player alternates in and out depending on his availability. But yeah, I have a pretty solid band at this point. Nice. And they're awesome. They're such talented guys and so humble and easy to work with. So it's been fun getting to play shows with them.
Awesome. Very good.
Finally, yeah. I think you get into that point where you know, get your groove all together and we can play off each other really good and put on a fun show.
Oh, okay.
It definitely seems like you have made so much progress in such a vast amount of time. I mean, Creation Fest is literally the largest Christian music festival in the world. And
yeah.
So for you to be and able to be on that, I mean, that is amazing. And I'm so sorry. What were you going to say?
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, I almost didn't even apply to be in that because I just thought like, obviously there's probably people way better than me. So I'm not even going to submit for it. And then it was like the very last day to submit. And I was like, okay, I'll just do it. And that's another one of those God things of, you know, you take that step of obedience, even though you might be scared and, you know, I might think I'm not good enough, but if it's a door God wants open, he'll open it. So that's, that's the only way I think that I've done anything I've done is just God continually opening the right doors. And again, with the obedience, like there's a lot of opportunities I've had to turn down that have seemed like great opportunities, but I refuse to compromise in anything that I do. So, you know, it's hard whenever there's not a ton of venues, especially in Pittsburgh. There's not a ton of venues here. So, you know, just turning down those like club things and the bar shows, like it could be hard when there's not a lot, but I just know that, you know, God will honor that obedience. So
you do Creation Fest and then, was that your first music festival?
Yeah, that was like my first bigger one. I've done like local Pittsburgh things, but that was my first Christian music festival.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
I fell in love with doing festivals. It's so much fun. Like there's just so much energy. It's so cool.
Gotcha. So you do Creation Fest and all these doors start opening for you and all these opportunities. And, you know, you said that you had done a live festival. You shared the stage with Brian Welch for an event. How has the journey been for you? Because, I mean, you're so young and to have all of these opportunities, what has it been for you when, you know, you start out at Creation and you say, I don't really know if I have it. I'm probably not the best. And then decide, okay, I'll try it, but probably not having super high hopes from what it sounds like. And then God just floods your life with all these opportunities. What has that journey been like for you?
It's been exciting. I think it definitely pushed me out of all of my comfort zones, which has been really good for me. I think I've grown so much. You know, and I've just had so much fun. I think you know, the one thing that God has been showing me through all of this too, because I'm such like a perfectionist, and I think sometimes that can suck the joy out of the things that you do. And so I think it's really taught me to live in the moment and, you know, just appreciate the time that I'm there and to not just be so stressed out. And I just never want to let the joy of it slip away. So I think that's been, the longer I do it, the more I'm just able to enjoy it. And those fears kind of get put to the backside. But I think as artists, that's just such an important thing to always just focus on is, you know, you work ahead of time, you practice, and so that you can just be present while you're there. And I think the biggest thing for me, like the thing that I love the most, is just getting to meet people and hear people's stories. Like after the show is sometimes my most favorite part of the shows, because I can just go to my merch table and talk to all the people and hear their testimonies and hear how my testimony has impacted them. And so I think that's just been one of the coolest things to see throughout this whole thing, is just the people that God has touched through my music. It's just always so cool to see. Kind of goes into the second part of my testimony, is I've had to really find a kind of the balance of how to tell my testimony, because a lot of it was just revolved around church hurt and abuse within the church. And I think though, like that's another thing that's intentional, of I think a lot of people have gone through that similar situation, and like the fact that I'm able to stand there and say I've been through these things and I still hold on to my faith, because I know that, you know, Jesus was abused here on earth. He came as a, you know, fully human. He was abused. He was betrayed by his closest friends. It was the church at the time who crucified him. So like, I think understanding like that humanity of God, and like that gives you so much comfort of he walked through the same things that I've walked through, that all of the, like the people who I'm talking to have walked through. And so, you know, we can have that kind of confidence in that he went through those things. He understands it. He sympathizes with us. And that's like something I always wanted to be, is like what I needed at that time. I want to be able to be that for somebody else. But kind of like part two of my testimony, I'll just give a short overview. But this was, I had just turned 21. And at the time there was a retired pastor at my church, and that relationship turned into him sexually harassing me and grooming me and stalking me and all of those things. And he was really financially tied to the church. So that situation wasn't handled properly by the church when I brought it forward. And I was kind of more ostracized and accused and emotionally manipulated, all those things. And, you know, the church didn't handle that the way that they should have. But on the other side of it, you know, after that, like, that situation was horrible. And, but God brought me to another church after that, that was so healing for me. And I think that's another thing, like God sometimes uses the thing that hurt you to heal you. And, you know, I went into the door of that church, and it was my first week there, and the pastor was just asking me about my life, and I was able to tell him what I had just come from. And he was the first person who said, like, you know, what happened to you was evil and I'm sorry. And like, that meant so much to me, that somebody in that position would see what I went through and say, you know, that wasn't okay and I'm sorry. And I found, like I said, so much healing there. I ended up working at that church full time as their creative director, and I met my now fiance at that church. And so it's just so cool to see how, you know, God uses even the darkest of things. Like I never thought I was going to get out of that situation. It was just so dark and consuming. But there's always hope. And so that's something I always talk about at my shows, is, you know, I was hurt by the church, but God is good, and God is always good. And his church is good, but people fail. And so I think just being able to stand there and say, you know, I know you've been through, you may have been hurt too, but there's hope. And I think that's just been so cool to see. And there's been so many girls who have come up to me after I tell my story. And I usually go, it depends on what show I'm at, that I sometimes go into more detail. But there's always somebody who comes up to me and says, you know, thank you for sharing. This is exactly the same thing I went through. So it's just so cool to see how God works, but that's never easy to do. And I think it's always difficult for me to share that, but it's always something I know that God is going to use, and he never lets anything we go through go to waste.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. There's so many people out there who have been hurt by the church. And, it, you know, it's like you said, the church is not perfect by any means. Mm-hmm. It wasn't perfect in Jesus's time. It's not perfect now.
Yep.
But there's so many people who they get hurt by the church and then they choose to abandon fellowship. And it's like, okay, yep, I'm just going to stay at home and I'm going to make my relationship with God between me and God. And not that obviously our relationship with God is between us and God, but God also wants us to be in fellowship with one another. And so that can be very powerful to people, because I can almost guarantee you that these shows that you're doing and you're sharing your story of what you've been through, I would venture to say most of the shows that you do, there's probably at least one person in there who has been hurt by the church and has either stepped away from the faith entirely or has stepped at least away from fellowship with the body of Christ, you know, stepped away from, you know, fellowship with the church. And so, but just hearing your story, you know, and how you overcame that. And yes, the church is flawed. We're not perfect and there's going to be issues. And, but you decided to continue and say, you know, even though I got burnt, I'm not losing faith in Jesus and I'm going to continue to pursue. And if God is asking us to never, cease fellowship, then I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to find the church that is for me, the church that I'm meant to be at, so that I can continue to dig deeper into Scripture, dig deeper into my relationship with God. And that's really, really important. And I think that that will speak to a lot of people, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that have been hurt. And hearing your story and your boldness and your determination to continue on and to find that church that was right for you. And now, you know, like you said, you're there, you know, you love the church that you're a part of now. I mean, that could really, really speak to people.
Yeah. And, you know, I think just talking about the character of God too, like that was something I knew was always constant. Like he's consistent, he's faithful, he's good, just like always relying on those things. Like we have a hope, like we have a future because he's good. And it's not going to mean that life is easy. Like I feel like every, you know, few years, something crazy happens in my life and, you know, tons of other people, like life is going to be hard and it's still going to be messy. But if you can hold on to those constants, which is God, that's the only constant in this life, then, you know, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through. And honestly, I really think if I didn't have God, I don't know where I would be, especially like, you know, when I was talking about when I left my high school, like that I was depressed. I was having panic attacks. Like I didn't like life. But I knew that as long as I was still here, that God still had a plan for me. And so, like I said, I just think it's so important to just keep telling about God's goodness. That's going to be my message until I'm dead, is that God is good, because I've seen it so many times in my life.
Amen. Yeah, I think, you know, listening to your story, and I think that there's so much that you have to offer, and you're so talented, and all these gifts that God has given you. You know, I think that that's a big reason why, you know, you maybe had struggled with depression and just things that you were going through, because Satan knew that Satan knew how God was going to use you. Satan knew the mm-hmm. opportunities that you were going to have. And so, you know, it's been said before, you know, they say if Satan, if he can't have your soul, he'll settle with making you miserable. And so it's just one yeah. of those things where, you know, Satan knew all the opportunities that you were going to have, the gifts that God had given you, and just those doors that would be open. And he was hoping that you wouldn't walk through them. You know, I mean, just imagine right. how differently things would be if you didn't take that opportunity to go to Creation Fest, you know, and, right. You know, that could have been, you know, a totally different path for you, you know, but you were yeah. obedient and you didn't sit on, you know, what Satan was trying to convince you that you're not good enough, that there's other people out there that are better than you. And yeah. obviously that wasn't the case because you won.
Thank you. And I think I always say too, like there comes a point where you have to pick yourself up and move forward. Like you can't continue to sit in your trauma and your depression. And like at some point, you know, we have free will, we have a personal decision, and it takes your willingness to pull, like obviously God pulls you out of it, but you have to take ownership in that too. So that's just a random side note, but that's something I always like say to myself. And when I'm talking to my friends who are going through stuff too, like at some point there's self ownership in it. So mm-hmm. anyway, random side tangent.
But. Yeah, no, that's so true. I wanted to ask, as far as, you know, I know you released your, you had the single out, in November.
Out Loud. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You released that song in November. Is that part of an album that you're currently working on?
So I am planning on releasing singles. So I have another one that will be coming out hopefully within the next couple months. It's in like the final stages now. So I'm just planning on releasing singles. And hopefully by the end of it, there will be six out. So I just released the first two, which was Walls and Out Loud. And then I have more coming.
Gotcha. Okay. You're releasing singles at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then, so what is 2024 looking like for you as far as your tours, as far as your music? What can people expect from you in 2024?
Yeah, so I'll have new music coming out. Like I said, there will be a new music video as well for one of those new singles that come out. We have a couple festival shows booked right now, but we're looking to fill up our booking calendar. So just looking for more shows. I think we would, ultimately, what I would love to do is get on a tour with another Christian rock group as an opener. I think that would be really cool exposure for me, and I would just love to be a part of something like that. So that's kind of the goal right now is we're still kind of dipping our toe in the water in the Christian music industry. So just getting more festival shows. And then, like I said, the goal would be to be an opener for somebody cooler than I am. That would be the goal.
Awesome. But yeah, like I said, in any way that we can help you, that we can support you, I would love to do it.
Thank you so much. It's been so good talking with you guys.
Yeah,
it's nice and it's refreshing to be able to talk about God and just all of these things. It's been really good.
Yeah, I love doing this. It's so much fun to be able to talk to the artist. Before I let you go, let our listeners know, what are some ways that they can, you know, stay up to date with what you have going on, ways that they can support you, whether that's buying merchandise, coming to shows.
So Instagram is, I'm probably most active on there. And my username is @AlyssaMusic. Alyssa is A-L-L-I-S-S-A. And then same thing, Facebook @AlyssaMusic. My YouTube is AlyssaOfficial. And then my website is AlyssaMusic.com. So just follow me on any of those and you should be up to date with stuff.
Okay. Alyssa, thank you very much.
Thank you. Lightning strikes, doesn't make a sound. A warning sign, straight to the ground.
skies are calm. The storm is coming, I will be heard. The earth will shake, you'll feel my words when I open my mouth. Let the thunder rise.